Whenever I'm invited to do a talk, I always start by saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you to a gathering where His name is mentioned and where His deen is honored, then this is a ni'mah. And we say Alhamdulillah, we're grateful for that ni'mah. Because there are some people who meant to be here, but they're not here. Qadr Allah. And there's some of you who didn't even know yesterday that you would be here today, and by Allah's grace, you are here. Put your hand up if you didn't know you were coming last week. Last week, no one knew, because there was no event, mashallah. So, I've been invited to come and speak on a topic that draws crowds wherever we go, because it is marriage. And the flip side of marriage, divorce. These are topics that our communities everywhere struggle with, are challenged by, and continue to work on. So today, inshallah, I would like to share a few of the takeaways from the lessons I've learned over the past few years, and in fact, longer than that. Because, as the Sheikh mentioned, I became Muslim in my early 20s, and I was introduced to another revert by a friend at college. And that revert and I, we ended up getting married, alhamdulillah. And I was 21, mashallah. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, through that union, Allah blessed us with 5 children. And He blessed us with 17 happy years, alhamdulillah. In that time, we graduated college, built a business, moved to Egypt, had our children memorizing Quran, learned Arabic, studied, built more businesses, alhamdulillah. The reality for most of us is that we take what we have for granted. Would you agree? Put your hand up if you agree. Most of us don't look at our lives on a daily basis and say, alhamdulillah for this. Alhamdulillah for that. Alhamdulillah for my husband, for my wife, for my children, for my health, for my home, for my parents still alive, for this job that pays my bills, for this degree that is opening doors for me, for my friends who support me. Most of us are forgetful. We are the children of Adam, after all. So, when one day I was invited to go out to eat with a friend, and I came home, and I came home fairly late, and my husband had already gone to sleep. My youngest was only 2 at the time, 2 or 3, and she woke up, and she wanted me to lie down with her. So I did. I went and I lay down with her. And the next morning, I was woken by my children, who came calling for me. Mommy, Mommy. Daddy's not waking up. I went to the bed and found my husband not responsive. And we called the ambulance, and it happened like this. Has anybody here had a medical emergency before? Any kind of a medical emergency? You know, it just goes like this. So what happens? He's not responsive. The ambulance comes. We take him to get a scan. They say that he's had a stroke and that there is brain damage and he's in a coma. And they don't know how long he'll be in the coma or what his state will be if he wakes up. So I'm sitting there. It's been 17 years of this man, a constant in my life, this beloved husband, wonderful father, mashallah, tabarakallah. My children are looking to me for answers. When is daddy going to wake up? When is he coming home? When are you coming home? And I don't know what to tell them. So he's in the coma and the people start coming. They come with gifts. They come with dua. They come with Quran. They come with love. How wonderful people come into your life when you need them. And I'm sitting there I am the one who has to phone his mother. This is her youngest child. And I have to tell her, Mom, he's in a coma. They don't know whether he's going to wake up. I have to hear a mother's heart breaking. And I have to go through all the scenarios. What if he stays in a coma for 3 years? What happens then? You know, there's an interesting thing that people do when somebody is in a coma. They come and they tell you miraculous stories. Have you heard those miraculous stories? I knew someone, they were in a coma for 6 months, wallahi. And they woke up and they were fine. Sister, you'll be okay. Sister, I heard about someone whose husband was in a coma for 3 years, wallahi. And when he woke up, everything was okay. They had another baby last year. They think this is comforting. I don't. Because I don't know how to navigate my life with my husband in this coma. But Allah is the owner of the heavens and the earth, and He decides. So, Ya Rab, if he will be in a coma for however long, I accept. Then they say, when he wakes up, he may have severe brain damage. He may not recognize you or the children. I say, Allah is the owner of the heavens and the earth. He decides. And if my husband wakes up and he is no longer the man that he was, I accept. And then what if he doesn't come back? Subhanallah, I went through every scenario, which is what you do. You go through every scenario, what could possibly happen. And Allah gives me the chance to accept each scenario. Say, Ya Rab, this is in your hands. Whatever you decide, I accept. So one day, a sister comes with a story for me. And this was a story that did give me comfort. She said, you know, there was a husband and a wife, and they had a child, they had a daughter. And this daughter, from when she was born, she was very ill. And the doctor said she wouldn't survive past 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But the daughter survived. Until one day she got too sick and they took her into hospital. And the hospital staff said, you have to leave her here. So they come back the next day and the doctors say, it's not looking good. She needs this, she needs that. And the man says to his wife, not yet. They come back the next day, the doctors tell them the prognosis. The man says to his wife, not yet. Then they come back the next day and the hospital staff tell them that their daughter has passed away. And the husband says to his wife, now. And they both fall into sujood of shukr. The hospital staff are shocked. Your daughter's just died. You're making sujood of shukr. What's happening here? And the parents explained and they said, Allah blessed us with this child for 5 years, 6 years, longer than the doctor said. We were blessed to know her, to love her, to get the ajr of caring for her, of making sure she was comfortable. This is something to be grateful for. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to take her back, we decided we would only embrace gratitude. We would truly embody Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So, when after 2 weeks, I got the phone call and the doctor said that we tried to revive him, but your husband is no more. Your husband has returned to Allah. I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Thank you. I put down the phone and I went into sujood of shukr. Because of the 17 years, because of the 5 children, because of the love and the memories and the solace and the garment that I was blessed with for 17 years was on loan to me. On loan. Brothers and sisters, we as human beings are ungrateful. If you go to the bottom of almost all our issues, you'll find ingratitude. Taking things for granted. Thinking we deserve more. Why should I not have what so-and-so has? What I used to have? What I have always dreamt of having? We take for granted the people in our lives, and that includes our spouses. And to be honest, my hunch is that we take for granted our spouse more than everybody else. Who agrees with that? I think our children, mashallah, we're so grateful for them. Who makes dua for their children all the time? How many people make dua for their husband or wife all the time? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Our children, they are our life. Our heart will happily sacrifice sleep, money, resources, our own pleasure, our own enjoyment to make sure that they're happy. And we thank Allah for them every day. We hold them close. We cherish them. Even when they're 18, 25, 30, we still feel the same. Husbands, not so much. Sometimes it's not as simple. But my point is this. Why do I tell this story? Because I want those of you who are married, those of you who inshallah will be married, I want you to wake up. I want you to wake up to the ni'mah that is right there beside you. The fact that another person has agreed to share their life with you, to build a life with you, to tolerate your nonsense, to make excuses for you, to love you in spite of your craziness, this is something to say alhamdulillah for. Anyone in this room perfect? Any perfect people in this room? Who's imperfect then? Who's imperfect? Why are people scared to raise their hand? Everybody is imperfect. That's how Allah created us. So, if you find someone who's willing to walk this journey of life with you in spite of your humanness, this is something to say alhamdulillah for. Do you know how many people in this world have no one? Do you know that there are people in this world, many people in this world, maybe some in this room, who wake up every day knowing no one is thinking about me. No one is worried about me. No one is calling to say, have you eaten? How did you sleep? No one, I can't turn to anyone and say, I'm in trouble. I need help. Can you? Can we? There are people in this world who are dying from loneliness. And yet I see the people who have someone, they're unhappy. They're not satisfied. It's not good enough. It's not enough love. There's not enough time. There's not enough grace. There's not enough affection. There's not enough. There's not enough. That's why I say, I want everyone here, inshallah, if you have someone in your life, to wake up to the blessing of that person. It's very easy, and shaitan loves it when we focus on the faults of the other person. Yes? It's very easy to do that because we all have faults. Every single one of us. So if we, every day, continue to look at the faults of the person, why doesn't he do this? Why is he always doing that? Why does she never do this? Why must I always? What happens? We build a picture that is not true. And we start to believe a picture that is not the truth. It's not the whole truth. The people who survive, the couples that find happiness with each other, what do they focus on? What do you think? What do you think they focus on? Couples that are happy together, that are able to make a good life, what do they focus on? I'm not going to say an answer. I want you to say. The positives. Barakallahu feek. What else? What's working? What is going well? What the person does well? What you like about the person? What you love about the person? And ultimately, what you're grateful for. Because if anything, the loss of my husband taught me was that everything we have is amana. Everything is on loan. Everything. I'd like you to just go inwards, close your eyes if you need to, but just think of all of the people that are in your life right now. People you didn't necessarily choose, because you can't make people be in your life. Your parents, your spouse, your children, your friends, your colleagues. And just think to yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this person into my life. He has brought this person into my life. He's brought barakah with this person. What is the barakah of this person? What blessing do I get from Allah via this person? Is this a person who is of comfort to you? Is it a person who provides for you? A person who has given you children? A person who keeps you safe, makes you feel safe? A person who tells you that you look nice? A person who cooks you your favorite meal? Inshallah, for many of us, I'll say for most of us, our spouse is one of those people. So if you don't take anything except this from this session, please wake up to the barakah of your wife and your husband. Because one of the biggest issues that we're facing today is that we're not grateful and it's not enough. We are tired of this person, tired of dealing with this person, sick and tired of it. You know that A, B, C, D that he always does? I'm done. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Sure, brothers feel the same way sometimes. But one of the things that we need to realize, and I actually have a list here. I have a list, and I am going to share the list with you. But when we hear people nowadays, and I want to say especially sisters or women, because women talk more than men, right? Would we agree with that? Yeah, women are much more open. If they're not happy in a situation, they're going to talk about it. Men, not so much. They're going to keep it in and then do what they need to do. But women, we talk. So you can hear the issues that are coming up. Now, as a disclaimer, I'm not talking about situations of outright abuse, okay, on either side. I'm not talking about relationships that are destroying people, okay? Please, let's be clear. Women can destroy men, and men can destroy women, because human beings have that ability. So I'm not talking about relationships that are destroying the people inside. I'm actually talking about your average relationship. I can hear some of the younger people saying, average? Who wants an average relationship? I want a fantastic relationship. I want an amazing relationship, a wonderful relationship. That's what I want. Do you know one of the biggest issues that is affecting the ummah today? Our expectations of our marriages. Because everybody wants the above average, the wonderful, the amazing, the Instagram-worthy relationship. I see the sisters smiling because they know what I'm talking about. It's okay to be average. It's okay to be okay. It's okay for your husband to be okay. It's good for your wife to be okay. The fact is, most of us are average, right? That's how averages work. Averages are the ones in the middle. But I will fight for every couple that is okay. And I will tell you, if you're okay, fight for that. Fight for that. Protect that. Advocate for that. And be grateful for that. Don't look at your okay relationship. What do I mean by okay? It's peaceful. you know, you get along, you're friends, you know, you have good times, you have bad times, you agree on some things, you disagree on other things, normal relationships, right? Fight for that, because that's normal. And we've forgotten what normal is. People think that if their relationship is normal, it's not okay. Somehow it's deficient. Does anyone come from a household that had a perfect relationship? Did anyone's parents have a perfect relationship? Does anyone even seen a perfect relationship in their lives? For real? Forget about social media. Forget about Instagram. It's lies. It's a highlight reel at best. It's literally clips and acted and scripted, and it is not real. Don't pay attention. And I know it's a big ask, but really, and I'm going to say this to whoever feels that their heart is inclined to this type of content, I'm not going to say call any names, but whoever feels that their heart is inclined to this type of content on Instagram, on TikTok, please stop. Please stop consuming the lies, because that's what it is. It's not real life. Real life, if you want to know real life and normal relationships and healthy relationships, go back to the seerah. You look at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Was his relationship with his wives perfect? Did they disagree? Did they argue? Did people act out of pocket? Yes. He was displeased with them. They were displeased with him, because we're human beings. And that's how it works. And it's beautiful. We've been groomed to aim for this picture-perfect scenario. The picture is just a smokescreen. It doesn't exist. One of the expectations that we have, or one of the reasons why we're so unhappy, is because our expectations are here and our reality is here. And how it works in life, in everything, the gap between your expectations and your reality is where frustration lies. That's where we get frustrated, right? So if you start a new job and you have an expectation that the job is going to be whatever it is that you think, and you go in, and it's more like here, you start to feel dissatisfied, right? You start to feel frustrated. It's normal. There's a very simple cure for us. What should we do? What do you think I'm going to advocate for? What do you think? Yes, Uncle has all the answers, mashallah. Lower your expectations. In line with the deen, in line with the seerah, in line with the sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never promised us that we would never face trials. In fact, this dunya is a place of test and examination. And your wife will be a trial for you. And your husband may be a trial for you. Not all the time, inshallah, but sometimes. It's like those children that we love so much, that we would die for. Do they not give us a hard time? Not all the time, hopefully, but sometimes. So what I'm calling for us Muslims to have a more grounded, realistic expectation of our marriages. And when you have good, please, don't take it for granted. Be grateful for it. Be grateful for it. Celebrate it. Thank your spouse. Make dua to Allah for Allah to increase them, for Allah to increase you. Make your home a place of solace. One of the things that I have on this list here that I've noticed over time, and this is especially, I think, with more recently, we've completely forgotten what an Islamic marriage is all about. Seriously. People think the marriage is the wedding. How much did you spend on your weddings? How much do you guys spend on weddings around here? What's the average in the area? $5,000? $5,000? $10,000, anyone? Anyone 10 grand? Nobody wants to say. Up, higher. 10, 20? Higher. 30? 50? Okay, now we're talking. All right. So now people are nodding. Nobody wanted to say it, but alhamdulillah. So the wedding, 40 grand, 50 grand outfits from India and Pakistan, the bridesmaids and the flowers and the food and the what's going to happen, who's going to be there, and 300 family members. Love it. Love it for you. Great. The pictures, of course. The Instagram, the reels, all of that. Great. The video afterwards, you know, with all the editing and everything. Great. Fantastic. Where you're going to live has to be nice. How does he treat you has to be nice. Did he propose? Did he give you a ring? Did he go down on one knee? Did you film it? Did he take you to the seaside and have his friends come in secret and then go down on one knee and propose, and they captured it on film and then you put it on Instagram and everyone's like, sis, mashallah, you're so lucky. Does he do the washing every day and you film him and you show everybody, mashallah, my husband? Your wife, does she hit you over the head and you film it? And you put it on, you see, I'm such a patient man, I'm such a patient husband. It's all nonsense. We're laughing, but it's all nonsense. This is the dunya that we talk about. The dunya that is sweet and green, but is just an illusion. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislate marriage? Why did he create us in pairs? To provide comfort for one another, and ultimately, on our journey back to Allah, to get to Jannah, inshallah. Let's go to basics. Why do you have a husband? Why do you have a wife? Lots of other things. But ultimately, this is your partner, inshallah, to make your way back to Allah and to get to Jannah, inshallah. How many of us can honestly say that we renew our intention within our marriage? When you cook for your husband, do you get reward? Yes or no? Okay, what do the men say? They say yes. What do the ladies say? Some yes. Okay, we can agree. Alhamdulillah. If I cook for my husband, this is an act. Allah is pleased with it. If I make my intention, I'm adding to my scale of good deeds. When you buy the groceries for the household, do you get reward for that? Do they get reward for that if they buy the groceries? Because you're doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you, to provide for your family. We could write a list as long as this table, if not longer, of all the things that spouses do for each other that could earn them reward if they had the right intention. And that's why I'm going back to my initial message. Be grateful and make it count. If you're going to be married to this man, you better make it count. If you're going to be married to this woman, make it count. Be sincere. Do whatever you do for the sake of Allah. This person is on loan. You do not know when Allah is going to take them back. You don't know. That's the fact of it. You don't know. And the thing is, it's a human thing. We get tired when the other person is not appreciative. We feel resentful, right? We get frustrated when she doesn't understand or he doesn't appreciate. I get it. But that's why we have reminders to come back. Come back. Come back to why you should be doing it in the first place. There are things we can tolerate for the sake of Allah, and we do. That's how marriages last. That's the truth of it, because the couple decide to tolerate each other. I know it's not very romantic sounding, doesn't sound very fun, but it's true. Some of us, our parents are a little bit problematic. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But some of us, our parents, can be a little bit difficult, can be a bit challenging. The reason we still have a relationship with them is because what? You tolerated them. You made excuses for them. You didn't give them a hard time on everything. You tolerated them because you wanted to give them their haq, treat them the way you would like your kids to treat you. So what I'm saying is, two people in a marriage, it's not going to be a bed of roses. In fact, it will be a bed of roses, actually, because a bed of roses is beautiful and it smells sweet, but it has thorns, right? So marriage, in a way, is a bed of roses. We accept it as such. And we are realistic with what we expect. A bed of roses is never going to be smooth because it has a stem and it has thorns, and that's how Allah created it. So if we take that metaphor of the bed of roses and we accept that, I love the smell of this bed, I love the look of this bed, the petals are beautiful, but I know that laying in this bed means that I'm going to have to tolerate certain things, and I'm okay with that. For whose sake? For the sake of Allah. Because ultimately, everyone in your life is an opportunity for you to pave your way to Jannah. Your children, your spouse, your parents, your sisters, your brothers, your colleagues, they are all an opportunity for you to earn Allah's pleasure. How different would we behave if we looked at our spouse in that way? Allah's blessed me with you, and you're an opportunity for me to earn Allah's pleasure. How would our behavior change? How would our attitude change? How would our actions change? Every one of you knows the answer. If you sit and you think to yourself, you know the answer. So I hope that inshallah our time together here will not be you listening to me going on and then you go home and forget everything I said. Because I'm not here to speak. I'm not a speaker in that way. I would like you to hear what I'm saying and take what you know you need to make a difference back home, whether it's now or in the future, inshallah, in your relationship. Because the people who are able to stay together, again, I go back to this, they know their intention. They know their ultimate goal. And they're prepared to tolerate the other person for the sake of Allah. And please, don't listen to people online who tell you the stuff that they tell you, okay? Most of it is not helpful to us as Muslims. When I hear people talking about marriage, there's always a sprinkling. Sprinkling of Hollywood, sprinkling of Bollywood, sprinkling of toxic traits, sprinkling of narcissism, sprinkling of this and sprinkling of that, right? We're very good at using those words to describe our situation. Because if you go on Instagram, there's people there telling you all the time, if he does this, that's a red flag. If she does this, that's a red flag. If your wife XYZ, this is toxic XYZ. If he does this, he's a narcissist. He has narcissistic disorder. These things, most of the time, to be honest, are not helpful to us. We are Muslims. We have a roadmap. We have a roadmap. And that roadmap applies to us as individuals and as units. So the unit could be the spousal unit, the husband and the wife. The family that includes the children, the extended family, the clan, the community. The deen gives us a roadmap in all of those situations. But the roadmap doesn't work if we as individuals are not following our own roadmap. It's very clear the behavior that is expected of a Muslim. We have taqwa. We fear Allah in what we say, in what we do, in how we think about people, how we think about things. We are honest. We are trustworthy. We are generous. We are kind. We are respectful. Yes? The adab of the Muslim is very clear. Why is it that when it comes to our marriages, we seem to forget? We seem to forget. You'll see people act outside the most beautiful way. They're humble, they're kind, they're respectful. People love them. Inside their home, it's another story. Why are we doing this? And yet we expect our family to thrive. We expect the roadmap to make sense. It makes sense if every one of us is following قال الله وقال رسول. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of us. Because nobody has an excuse. Just because it's your wife, you can behave X, Y, Z. Or because it's your husband, you can get away with A, B, C. No. We're Muslims. And all of the things that we give to others, strangers, want for your brother what you want for yourself, for example. If we truly believed, if we truly put these into practice, Muslim marriages would be the most beautiful example of how human beings can create a home together. Why? Because we have the example, we have the roadmap, we have all the rules, but we forget. So that's why we get to come to sessions like this. And I get to say to you, please, sisters, brothers, wake up. Take responsibility. Because that's another thing that we are not doing. Everyone wants to blame the other person. In our homes, and especially online. It's the brother's fault. It's the sister's fault. The brothers are to this, the sisters are to that. And you've got this war happening between the men and the women of this ummah. So I ask a question. If the men and the women of the ummah are at war, how can our families thrive? How can our families thrive? How can we have happy, peaceful marriages? And that's why I say, if your heart inclines to that type of content, my brother, my sister, my advice to you is to shut it off. Because it's not helping. It's not helpful. It is not helping you. We have been given the roadmap, and if we apply it in our homes, in ourselves as husbands, as wives, that is where we will find the sakina. That is when we become garments for each other, inshallah. And every one of you who is married, how many are not married in this room, actually? Who's not married? Okay, mashallah. So everyone else is married. Alhamdulillah. So those of you who are not married yet, may Allah bless you with a spouse that enables you to bring about the very best of your character and allows you to make your way to Jannah. Ameen, ameen, ya Rab. Please learn from our mistakes. Are there young girls in here, young boys? I think I saw a few. Sisters and brothers, who has a child over 10 years old? Who has children over 10? Okay, this is wonderful. I'm going to ask you to do me a special favor. We've had a conversation about your own marriages. I pray there was beneficial. I hope there was something in it for you. But I want you to do this. Think about your 10, 12, 15, 17-year-old children and ask yourself, am I raising husband material? Am I raising wife material? It's a very difficult question to answer, because sometimes you look at the way you're raising your son and you realize, I would never marry him to anyone because I haven't raised him that way. Yes? Sometimes, let's be honest, you look at your daughter and you think, which man is going to tolerate this girl? Ain't nobody. Ain't no way. We are responsible. Society does not teach us how to be husbands and wives. It teaches us how to be in relationships. It teaches us how to be in situationships. It does not teach us how to be husbands or wives. That's why we have no clue. That's why when the young brother and the young sister sit down together and the brother says, so what are your expectations of a husband? She has a long list, right? She knows all the things. He has to pay, he has to provide, he has to protect. I want a car, I want 50,000 mahar, whatever the case. And she has a long list. And he's like, okay. So what are your responsibilities? I want to be a mom one day after I finish my studies. Anything else? Like, you get me. What more do you want? And he asks her about cooking. Oh my God, I hate cooking. hate cooking, really, really do. My mom does all the cooking at home. Okay, what about looking after a house? I thought we could get someone in for that. Like, I'm going to be working, you're going to be working, and, you know, it will work out. And the young man realizes this young lady doesn't really know what it means to be a wife. She wants to be in a relationship. And she wants the proposal and the ring and the wedding and to have a man in her life. But to be a wife is different. Any wives in here married for more than 10 years? These are the ones we need to be learning from. Any husbands been husbands for more than 10 years? These are the men we need to be learning from. Because if you've managed to make a marriage last, inshallah, in a good way, for 10 years, you've learned some skills. You've learned some skills, okay? You have some characteristics that others don't have. Whether it's patience, wisdom, taking care of your responsibilities, making excuses for the person, how to look after someone, how to support someone, how to be a soft place to land, how to be strong and protect somebody. These are things that our children need to learn from us, because they're not going to learn it out there. They can learn game. The boys can go and they can learn game, all right? They can go out there, they can learn how to chirps and do all of that stuff. But that's not a husband. That's not what a husband does. A husband is built from something else. It's like a wife. She can learn how to do her makeup, you know, how to do all the contouring, how to have the hijab styles, you know, how to put outfits together. Great. She can look beautiful, but that's not a wife. So we, as a community, in fact, I'm going to, inshallah, invite, when I speak to Sheikh Yasser, I'm going to speak to him and say, can you have some workshops for your youth on what is it to be a husband? What is it to be a wife? How can you build the husbandly qualities in yourself? How can you build wifely qualities, right? Because these are skills that we need to learn. And if we can do that, inshallah, then the next generation has a chance. But I don't think that all is lost, because I believe that there are enough of us who want Jannah and who want to be successful in the roles that Allah has given us to play. There are enough of us to save our marriages. If Allah has given you the role of husband, do you not want to be a successful husband? If He's given you the role of wife, do you not want to be a successful wife in the eyes of Allah? If you're a mother or a father, do you not want to be able, at the end of your life, to say, you know what? I put in the work. SubhanAllah. On one of the podcasts that I did with one of the brothers in the UK, we were talking about the difference between relationships that you see out in the media and marriage. And we were talking about how a marriage is something that you build together, right? You build it. And any marriage that lasts more than 5 years, they will have had ups and downs. Am I right? Right? There'll be ups and downs. It's not going to be smooth sailing. But if you don't give up, okay, let me start here. If you have the basic building blocks, meaning you are fairly well matched, you're fairly good friends, and you want the same thing, and you don't give up, then what happens at the end of your life? Inshallah, Allah will bless you with children. Those children will grow up with the two of you. They will see an example of two people who prioritized what they were building over their own nafs. So it's not me versus you. It's us and this institution, this a'ila that we're building, this family that we're building. I make decisions, best interests of the family. You make decisions, best interests of the family. I sacrifice, not for you per se, for the family. Because I know that's what's required. Because sometimes family requires a sacrifice. And that's okay. Nowadays, nobody wants to sacrifice. If you are even any period of time on Instagram, you will see those little notices that tell you it has to be good for you. Oh, you deserve the world. If it's not working for me, then I let it go. You seen these types of things that people say? That's the toxicity. Because no family can survive without sacrifice. Because life isn't like that. You don't get to live life on your own terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides the parameters of your situation and the tests that you go through. And if you decide to bail at the sign of the first test, guess what happens? Divorce? Then you're out in the wilderness. Has anybody been divorced in this room and tried to look for someone else? Yeah? Okay, not many. So this is great. There's a green audience, fantastic. I'm here to tell you, when you have been divorced once or twice and you're trying to find someone else, it is the Wild West out there. It's the Wild West. So please, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of your divorce. Often it isn't, and it's very, very difficult, and it's lonely, and it's hard. So, that couple that prioritize their family and are prepared to sacrifice and invest and work for their family, 5, 10, 20 years down the line, inshallah, they have children. Those children grow up. Inshallah, those children go on to marry and have children of their own. And when it's Eid, where do they come? Back to Mama and Baba, with the grandchildren and the in-laws. And when you look back at your 30 years, 40 years of marriage, you will know that there were some hard times. Maybe there were some hard years, but you stuck with it. And now the two of you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. Because this life, ultimately, we're here to do a job. If Allah gives us children, that's the assignment. Raise these children well. Give them the very best start. Give them the tarbiyah so that they can do the same for their children. Our job is not different to a generation ago, to 5 generations, 10 generations ago. It's the same. So if, to recap, if we can go back to basics, go back to what this is all about, what we're doing this for, who we are doing this for. Go back to gratitude. Have your expectations realistic. Be prepared to tolerate the mistakes of the other, how you would want them to tolerate your mistakes. And let us be Muslims in our marriages. Treat your wife as a Muslim should. Treat your husband as a Muslim should. And ask for Allah's barakah. As I said at the beginning of this, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with someone to share your life with, this is a ni'mah indeed, and I'm happy for you. Even if you don't like your husband right now, I'm still happy for you, because he's probably been through a time where he didn't like you very much, but he's still here. And that's what we do. We make excuses, we tolerate each other, we give each other grace, we forgive each other, we say sorry, and we keep it moving. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in all of our marriages. May He allow us to be garments for each other in the very best way. May He allow our fights to be short-lived and our forgiveness to be sweet. And may we work together, supporting each other on this road to Jannah. Ameen, Ya Rab. Jazakum Allah khairan for your time. I pray that there was some benefit in it for you, inshallah.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.